Okay. This is Taste of Country Nights on Demand. It's Evan Paul here with Billy Dukes. And in the first month of the first month of 2026 is when we start talking country tours. And already people are announcing when their tours are and just announcing tours in general. I know there are two that we'll get to, Maroney and Luke Combs, that were just announced. But I want to first go down the list, but I want, Billy, if you could, can you go down the list starting with the early starters and stopping, you know, maybe through February? Because I want to see, it's interesting to me when artists jump right in January, because that's a lot right away. And you got to have a song that's hot on the radio still from pre-Christmas. I don't know.
Well, hopefully by the time you get to your first January tour date, you've already sold it. Like, you put it on sale early enough last fall to take advantage of some of the Christmas season concert ticker sale love. So, but like Chris Stapleton, he's first on our list. January 10th, he starts the All-American Roadshow with back-to-back dates, and he's doing it right. He's down there in Florida. Like, I always question these fools who start a January tour date up in Buffalo. Like, why would you do that? I don't get it. Like, I mean, it's cold, but you're also risking canceling a show too, right? Because the snow could cause trouble. And you got, man, what a mess. What a logistical mess.
I will say, in support of Chris Stapleton for that, as myself being a former Husky dude, you know, it is, even though it's January in Florida, that's still a risky move, because he's going to be sweating. Like, I see what you're saying about Buffalo, but as a hefty dude, you might want to start the year in a hoodie up there. I'm just saying.
Chris has got a pair of shows in Florida, then he's going to Vegas for a few shows next month, and then he'll really kind of get underway in April. He's just doing a few indoor shows for the most part in January. But right after him, January 15th, Blake Shelton's going to continue his residency in Las Vegas. That'll go through the end of the month. And then after that, some heavy hitters in January. Rascal Flatts starts January 15th. Trace Adkins, Eric Church's tour actually kicks up again on January 22nd, and he'll go through April. And then Nico Moon is the other January tour. The American Palm Tour begins on the 29th.
I have a theory about Rascal Flatts that I've been developing for a little while that I wanted to bring up to you since we were talking about the tour. The Gary LaVox, he has been posting lately on his social medias his son, who looks to be like, you know, an older teenager, singing, and he's even putting his son singing on stage, and he sounds like a mini Gary LaVox. My prediction is that the rest of Rascal Flatts are going to want to keep going, and Gary is retiring and warming up his son to take his place.
Well, it makes sense that Gary's son could sing and he would know those songs. I feel like that would really change the vibe of the band a little bit. But, you know, at some point, like the Oak Ridge Boys swap new members out. They've been doing that for decades. So this kind of thing does happen. Why do you think Gary's done? Do you think he just wants to get off the road?
I don't know why, but I just, the reason that I say that is just because out of nowhere, like, I follow Gary and everyone knows he has a kid and a son and whatever, but it just started like out of nowhere, the way that he's posting his son singing the songs. It's almost with a tone of like, he's posted, one of the captions was like, yep, it runs in the family, he's got it. And they're in the tone of he's doing it just as good as his daddy. Like, I don't know. It just, to me, it sounds like he's warming it up. Or at the least, if Gary in their older days now or whatever, if he can't go one night, like if he can't sing, at the least, I feel like his son is going to sing, and that's going to kick off a career. I feel like he's handing the torch to his son.
How old is this kid?
He looks to be like 19-ish, 20, 18, yeah. You know. And he's out on the road with the boys when they're playing shows. And these They're bringing them up on stage. It's weird. That's my 2026 tour prediction, that you're going to see Gary Lavox's son in there.
All right. Moving to February, there's some big tours, and I'll just hit some of the highlights for February. Hardy and Jake Owen are probably the two biggest ones starting in February. And Jake, this is actually a little bit of a tease of something we're going to talk about later, like the tours to sort of look out for this year. Jake's on my short list with the Dreams to Dream tour, because this is a tour, if I'm not mistaken, it's an acoustic tour focused on his last album, which is a pretty hard pivot from like some of the more pop-friendly country he's released in years past. I think this is going to be a different vibe for Jake Owen fans. I'm curious to see how it goes for him.
Yeah, he's not on my list. I did think about it, but I'm one of those people that, I don't know, I want to remember, I appreciate what he's doing now, and I'm all supportive of it, but, you know, when I think Jake Owen, I think Beach, and I think, you know, I want to hear Barefoot Blue Jean Night. So it's like, I don't know. But I'm one of those guys that goes to an old school concert and gets pissed if they don't play one of their old songs, sure. You know, like, you know, I don't want to hear about your new music. I want to hear your old song. But I see what Jake's doing, and I talked to him about it and how excited he is and how the industry is excited about it. So I can see where you say that. But I don't know that I would put one of my three on there. But we'll get to that later. But that's an interesting pick. And I'm wondering how Jake Owen's ticket sales are, if it's fans that are from the past that want to hear what he sounds like now, or is it people that are assuming, oh, Jake Owen's going back on the road, I want to hear Beachin', I want to hear, and they're buying tickets and they're going to get there and be surprised?
Well, there's not really a way of figuring that out. I'm looking at some of his tickets now. I see a March 8th show in Knoxville. And tickets starting at $66. Pretty reasonable price. And this is a theater show, and it looks like lower level, fairly close to sold out, plenty of room still available in the balcony on that show.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I do wonder, what do you think? When an artist switches their whole vibe, there's got to be some people that haven't gotten the message yet that are going for the old vibe.
Yeah, they just see Jake Owen in a tour, or they don't quite wrap their head around the reality of what this is going to look like. But I think those longtime fans are there for like a one-off change. You know, if you're a dedicated, tried and true Jake Owen diehard, like, you're going to show up for that new version of him. It's more like just like the passive fans who might be kind of surprised. Someone who's on a whim, getting a couple of Jake Owen tickets to take a girl out on a date, and all of a sudden he's hitting it with the acoustic, yeah, and you're kind of counting on that Barefoot Blue Jean Night kind of vibe.
Yeah.
That might be the person.
Couple hammered sorority girls. Yeah, hammered sorority girls. I want to hear beats.
Yeah.
And then Jake's got the acoustic up there, and he's just talking about how he got a divorce.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So hopefully his marketing team is kind of out in front of that.
That's an interesting thought, though. I want to get to artists that are headlining first. So if you can take a broad look at your thing that's up at tasteofcountry.com about the 2026 tours, which country artists are going out on their first headlining tours? Because that's nerve-wracking.
So a couple stand out to me, and we got dates kind of into May. These are most artists haven't announced tours past May. That generally starts to happen actually this month. You know, if an artist says they got a big announcement coming in January or October, it's likely a tour coming the following season. So we'll get the summer tours within the next 30 days or so, and right now we're up to through the spring tours. But some artists who stand out for their first headliners, I'm looking at Tucker Wetmore. I don't know if this is his very first headlining tour, but it's a big one. He's playing some bigger venues. He's got a couple of hit songs.
That his success is crazy to me. Like, that guy was selling out his concerts before he even had enough songs to play a concert. Like, he had three songs recorded and he was selling out. people love that guy. And he was one of only like five artists last year that had multiple number ones on country radio in 1 year, which is very difficult.
He is one of these artists who really, people have had success from social media standpoint of like, you know, they have a hit song or two or get some attention, but he's really parlayed that into an actual career, which is, challenging. Not everybody can do that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Pretty good price on these tickets, by the way. $58, I'm seeing a show. I can't see how ticket sales are going for this show in Minneapolis necessarily. He's also going over to Australia, it looks like, in March. But the other one, and this is probably the tour I'm most interested to hear about, is Megan Maroney. She has headlined before, but this to me is her first. Tucker Wetmore actually selling really well at a show in Hollywood, Florida.
That's where I was born.
In Hollywood, Florida?
Yeah.
He's playing the Hard Rock Live there. Yeah, he's got
that, dude. Yeah, a show on that's February 20th. My spot. I used to go there when I was 8. My dad would take me there we'd sit in the smoking section.
So I was looking at Megan Maroney's tour because this is like, she's headlined some small shows, but she is playing some arenas, like good size arenas in 2026. Like she's playing Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. These are 15,000 to 20,000 seat venues. And the tickets are not cheap. I looked at a show, I think, for Little Caesars Arena. They were in the mid ones as a starting point. But dang, if she wasn't selling tickets, like they are scarce. A number of the shows are sold out for her, and a lot of the shows, the tickets are just scarce. So that's a really encouraging sign for her.
I'm going to say Megan's people made a mistake. I'm going to say she needs to be playing stadiums. She, in my opinion, Megan Maroney needs to skip arenas and go straight to stadiums. You can't, like, Zach Bryan or whatever, you know, he sold out the Michigan or whatever, 105,000. That's one of the, Megan Maroney, if you ask me, are one of those people that on paper right now, someone's going, this guy's an idiot. What is he talking about? But if you put a Megan Maroney show available tickets at, you know, Tennessee in Knoxville at that stadium, available, headliner, I'm pretty certain that she would sell it out.
So here's why I don't agree. Like, she may sell out a really friendly venue, like something around UGA. But couple of points. Can you name a female artist who has had a successful stadium tour run?
I don't know. Maybe Carrie Underwood?
She's done arenas.
Well, this is 2026, damn it.
I don't know that, like, Shania Twain. they weren't doing stadiums back then. Miranda. Like, I don't know that there's precedent for it. But also, I think Meg...
Yeah, but they weren't... But they weren't as famous as Megan is social media famous too now. Shania wasn't social media famous back then, you know?
I still think you need some of the non-social media ticket buyers. Stadiums are big. Like, when, like, you know, Luke Bryant comes to Nashville, he doesn't necessarily always sell out Nissan Stadium. Like, that's a lot of tickets you got to sell. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Here's the other thing. I think it's also far more valuable to say that you had a sold-out tour this year at the end of the year. But I think Megan overall is a bit of an unproven live show commodity right now. Like, I've never seen her live, so I can't pretend to critique her live show to any extent. But she's had some up-and-down performances on television. Like, she hasn't always nailed it.
Yeah.
And I don't know necessarily how indicative that is of what her stage presence is like in a live environment. But you get her on those bigger stages, if she is a little bit reserved or doesn't quite own it, I mean, that's even more terrifying for someone like her. So I think...
Well, all right. I see your point, and I'm in. I digress, as I like to say. But I still think UGA or whatever... And Tennessee, I think those two she would sell out. But other than that, Maybe she would sell out, but then she would get so nervous. Who knows?
She is selling concert tickets. And this is probably one tour above all of them this year that I'm just excited to see, or excited to kind of get a recap of or a review of, to hear how she's working those stages. Like, it's not just about ticket sales, because the fans are going to show up and love you. But, like, what are people really saying about her as a live performer? And I hope it's good, because she's a really bright star and good for this. We need more artists like her.
All right. Well, you've given us a hint of two artists that you are intrigued about their tour in 2026. I want to give you one that you might not think that a curveball from me as I'm looking down this list. Mine that I would love to go to, and I think people need to go to, is, it kicks off in March, is Trisha Yearwood's The Mirror Tour. And I have a few reasons for that. A, for you, you're most likely, I think, going to see Garth at the show at some point, and you get that for half the price of a Garth ticket. You know, and you get to see Trisha Yearwood go through her catalog, and she's going to have great commentary in between. And we all trust and love Trisha Yearwood. She's probably going to give out a couple recipes, you know, within the thing. But you're guaranteed almost to see Garth Brooks. And that's almost impossible nowadays to get a Garth ticket. And I think that would be a smart purchase.
I got my parents for Christmas this year. I got them tickets to go see Trisha Yearwood with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra playing Christmas songs and telling stories. And they went on and on and on about how good that show was. Like, it was fabulous. Like, this tour she's doing, the Mirror Tour, it starts on March 4th. It's described as an acoustic evening of stories and songs. And like we talked about that for Jake Owen, being a little bit of a new thing, a risk maybe. Like, this is right in her wheelhouse. She is such a natural conversationalist on stage. She has an amazing voice. I totally agree. This is a tour to really book. I think the venues are going to be appropriate for her as well. She's not playing open air venues. She's playing like opera houses, performing arts centers. So the sound is going to be good. Like, that ticket to me is worth the money.
Yeah, exactly. And not for nothing, I mean, people are always curious as to, you know, what she's going to say next, you know, and her and Garth haven't really said too much about the ongoing lawsuit that Garth is in. And who knows, you know, you never know. Maybe she'll mention something about, you know, who knows? Wow, we've had a crazy year, me and Garth. Oh, you know, I don't know. You might get that. So there's that. But then the other one that I'm excited about is, it kicks off 2 days later, and that's Stephen Wilson Jr. Now, I'm only excited about this as of recent because I didn't know anything about the guy or anything until the CMAs, when they brought him by and we got to interview him and talk to him. And I was like, this is the coolest guy ever. The fact that he wasn't a musician. He was like a chemist. And he's just like, all right, I guess I could sing. I think this is going to be such a fun show just to watch. Like, the dude can sing.
You know what the tour is called?
What is it?
Stephen Wilson Jr.'s Gary the Torch Tour.
What does that even mean?
I'm not certain what it means.
See, man, I love this guy. He doesn't believe in time, right?
So, I was going to get to that. So he's playing some shows with Eric Church to start the year, and then he's going to go on and do his headlining tour. I'm right there with you in terms of his music. I think he is really interesting. The music's good. He's a great vocalist. Tickets, I'm looking at a show for Steven March 7th at GLC Live in Grand Rapids. $149, which is a pretty pricey ticket, but I could probably, if you gave me 20 seconds, I could count how many seats were left. It's not many. Like, he's really selling.
People are curious, man. People want to know.
It's a curiosity show, to be sure.
What a story.
And that's the thing he said on New Year's Eve. They asked him how he spent New Year's Eve the previous year, because he did that CBS Big Bash. And he said, oh, well, my wife and I, or my people, we don't really celebrate New Year's Eve, because it's a construct of, because time is a human construct and we don't really believe in that. Which I'm not saying that to make fun of him, because I've actually given that same theory a lot of thought in my life. Like, how time is a man-made construct and how it kind of limits us. Like, imagine if we didn't have a 7-day work week. Like, if there was no sense of week, like, it would really kind of free you up. You wouldn't necessarily have to take 2 days off every five if you're on a roll. You know what I mean? Like, you could just kind of keep plowing through when the sun's out.
I get it, but, you know, playing devil's advocate, if that was the way, we would be like, man, I wish we just had a set 5-day work week.
I there's pros and cons. I didn't really think that you'd be my Huckleberry on the topic, but a bit of a pivot, but I do understand where Steven's coming from.
Well, the problem is that, because I brought this up to my wife too, when you told me that he doesn't believe in time, and she's on your side, but it's, you guys are just too, I think, just too smart for me when it comes to that. I just can't process that. Like, I can't process the fact that time, I just don't want to. When someone starts going, yeah, man, time's not real, we made it up, I'm just like, dude, it's dinner time. Like, I gotta go. Like, I don't know. But I guess I'm scared to sit down and think about it, I guess. Fair. But if I did, I might be on. I just can't grasp that.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. But rounding out the tours, are there any other ones that you're excited about in 2026?
So one more that I'm looking forward to is Riley Green's tour. The Still the Problem tour starts on April 10th. No, I'm sorry. That's Morgan Wallen's tour. Riley Green has the Cowboy as It Gets tour, and that starts on April 16th. Runs through August. He has some good opening acts. Drake White is a good live performer. Our friend Mackenzie Carpenter is part of that tour, and then a few others. He, I think, has finally come into his own. Big lift from and Justin Moore. Justin Moore is his direct support on that. But I feel like he's kind of come into his own as a true headliner. He's always been a great entertainer. I saw him out at Nissan Stadium several years ago with Luke Combs. Really entertaining. But I think now he's got the catalog of hits that will sell some tickets and make him a sold-out headliner.
Yeah, I remember when I first interviewed him was when there was this girl.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's had hit after hit, and it's just taken him a little longer to get to where some of the other artists are. But I agree, he's found his spot, man, and the fans love that dude.
Well, he disappeared through COVID, you know, he really did. He's one of those artists who really just sort of dropped off the face of the earth. Probably for good reason. And then he kind of had to start fresh again because he didn't have that much success prior to COVID. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's taken him a little longer.
Okay.
It's a good show. It's a really good show, and the music is strong.
Yeah, I would be a fan. I'd love to go see that. Well, the good news is we can't go to any of these shows, so maybe you can go and tell me and Billy about them. Because we just get to cover them secondhand. But
no, hold on, we're allowed to go to these shows.
Well, I mean, we're allowed to go, but like, no, we're not prohibited. But like, it's shows that come to Nashville. We both live around here, right. So it's like, I you know, I'm not going to see Riley Green in Nebraska. Is kind of what I'm saying. So
real quick,
before we
wrap up here, because I sense you wrapping up. There are some tours that we're anticipating being announced through the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You want to look at those or kind of, because there's some names not on this list that you know have to be touring at some point this year.
Okay, but go through those.
Carrie Underwood, right? It has been a long time since we had a Carrie Underwood tour.
Is she just going to go back to Vegas, though?
Nah, she tied a bow on that Vegas residency, so I don't see her just doing another one for the sake of doing another one.
Okay. That would be cool if she went on tour.
Luke Combs has announced tour. He didn't really tour much last year, but he's on the board for this year. Morgan Wallen, we didn't talk about, but he's on the board for this year. Jelly Roll has like 3 dates on the calendar for 2026.
Wow. And didn't he take the other year off too last year? No,
he went out with Post Malone, remember?
Yeah, oh, the big stadium. Okay. Yeah.
So I got to think
Dang.
Something's coming. It might not be till fall with Jelly Roll. He might truly be taking a little time off, which I can appreciate, but he's got to be coming. I think Keith Urban may take the year off. He had a big tour last year. It's obviously been a really difficult time in his life. He may take a year off. Luke Bryant, we don't have a Luke Bryant tour yet. I don't think Jason Aldean has really announced his big tour plans quite yet. I could be mistaken there.
That's got to be soon after April, right? Because that's when he says the album's coming out.
I would think so. You know, you're dropping an album.
Okay.
You got to hit the road right after.
Yeah, is Parker McCollum going to take time off because he's about to have another kid, his wife?
That's a good question. So, my guess is no, but he hasn't said.
Okay.
You mentioned the Luke Combs tour, by the way. He's got Zach Top and Lainey Wilson on a few shows, so there's some really good synergy there. I think Zach Top probably has a headliner tour. I think Zach Top could sell out arenas just like Megan Maroney as well.
Definitely.
So Garth Brooks has hinted at a tour for this year, and usually if Garth's hinting at something, that means something is coming. He doesn't ever just sort of speak and not follow up on these sorts of things. So there's a whole lot of artists that tours still to be announced this year.
Speculation or pretty firm?
A little bit of both. You know, Carrie Underwood's speculation, Garth Brooks, I feel a little bit more firm about. Same with Jason Aldean. You kind of just get a sense of where people are at and how hard they're hustling. I'd be curious to see what Lainey Wilson does because she's worked really, really hard. She might take a year off, and I could totally see that. But then again, she's Lainey Wilson, and she never seems to stop. So,
yeah, I feel like she's going to get married at one of her meet and greets with Duck and just call it a day.
Oh, you don't think we're not going to get the invite then? Well, shucks.
We're not getting any invites. Well, hey, thanks for checking out Taste of Country Nights on Demand. In the future episodes, we have a lot of artists already booked on the calendar. Speaking of Stephen Wilson Jr., he's booked on the calendar. We have Joe DiMassina going to be coming through. So the artists are going to start picking up as their projects for 2026 come out, and we'll be here talking about them and to them. So make sure you lock us in here, Taste of Country Nights on Demand. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, it's Evan Paul here with a quick disclaimer. So after we recorded this podcast, I realized that I did indeed brain fart, and I'm talking about Jay DeMarcus's son when I talk about Rascal Flatts, not Gary LaVox's son. Gary LaVox doesn't even have a son. I had a brain fart, so as you're listening, just know that I meant well and just apply everything to Jay DeMarcus and his son, as opposed to Gary LaVox and his non-existent son. Thank you.